Hello, AfterBuzzers. You're watching House of Cards, Season 4, Chapters 47 and 48. Join us as we discuss the race for the White House.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Wow. What a great two episodes, chapters 47 and 48.
Every time that you think it can't get better, there's more and more information and more characters that come out.
Yeah, and I'm so glad we did the doubleheader because we got to see that whole convention and that really kind of went explosive. So it was a great two episodes.
We did.
But we started off with Conway getting a little bit of kind of frankness in him. You know, he decides he's going to play the dirty politics too. So he's called over Yates. And he wants to see if Yates will release this book, especially if it hurts the Underwoods before the election.
Raise your hand if you had forgotten that Yates was actually writing the book and where that
right.
Yes,
He was totally. He was gone for so long. Yeah. It was just kind of weird for him to show up all of a sudden and to be kind of a play, if you will.
Yeah.
So. That was that threw me off.
He went from 0 to 100.
Now he's
to quote
able
one
to,
of my favorite.
Now he's able to curry favor, try to get back in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys think of Conway's kind of new game?
Conway's just as we've kind of mentioned before. Mm-hmm. He is an opportunist in his own right. He likes to play the game really well. He does a good job of playing the whole political map, and he's going to find every which way to get ahead in the game. And you know, he found a play here in Tom, and it's not going to work out in his favor, but he tried. He's always going
to
try.
I don't think anyone thought he was as innocent as what they initially played him off to be two episodes ago when it was the family man and know everything. Yeah. I don't think anyone knew that would last. And obviously it hasn't. What you see here with Yates, and then you also see later with Kathy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't think anybody thought it would last, and clearly it hasn't.
Yeah, I just love that they're both in on it, and they're offering him the Vanity Fair and, you know, the best-selling, you know, make him a best-selling author overnight. Mm-hmm. I just love that, and you kind of see a little bit of the Frank Clear dynamic with those two.
Yeah, he just wants something personal. There's an element to him where he doesn't really want any notoriety. He doesn't care for the fame. He just really wants a story to be said at this point, because he's already, I think there's a sense within him internally where he felt as if he was a little, he kind of like short-sighted the thought or the concept of writing a book, a best-selling novel, and having the whole story not really be his.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he wants to write something that's real and true. There's something that's missing in him, and he wants to put that in writing.
So I think that's where the Conway's made a misstep, is they didn't know that he was this sort of purist author, and he really wants to get back in the White House and finish the story.
Yeah, so he was almost using the Conways to get back into the White House.
He is.
Yeah, I love that whole sequence.
Do you see him, you know, looking a little ahead, do you see him as someone who could, you know, use that information eventually against the Underwoods?
No, I almost see him like a Meacham. I think they needed someone that was close to them that they could kind of let everything bear with, and he seems to like them. He seems to really kind of have a likability for them.
They made that comparison too. Yeah. Someone who knows them, who understands them.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I think Conway's going to be, I mean, I think Yates is going to be good for those two. So we'll see how it goes. But then we see the sort of machinations of getting Austin on the ticket, the senator, and then how they're going to try to get him off and get Claire to run. I had no idea it was going to go that way. What do you guys think?
I'd love to first of all point out one of my favorite things about the last couple of episodes is that we're seeing a lot more humor in Frank. Every single time he's now talking to the camera, ever since he got shot.
Too,
Total lighthearted. He's talking to us. He's making jokes, especially when he flips off Austin in the Oval Office. I mean, it's just
number
vintage
of reasons why I don't
vintage Frank, and I'm loving that they brought that back because there was something missing over the beginning episodes of this season, and even season 3 we did not see it a lot. So now Frank's back.
And I would say this is total subliminal. I'm giving the writers credit in that they're doing this to make us like him again.
Yeah.
Because we're going into this stretch where he needs to be likable in order to win, and they want us to root for him. For a while, I was not.
Yeah.
You know, you just hated him, and you, like I think I said at the beginning of the season, I hate that I love this show so much.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting to where, oh, I actually like it again. I'm okay admitting that I enjoy this show.
When you see the trajectory of where he is distant from Claire as compared to where he is now, it really goes hand in hand.
He almost had to lose a little bit of his humanity to get to where he is. And then after the assassination attempt, you kind of see that warmth come back, and getting back with Claire, I think, kind of, you know, enliven that.
So. Agreed.
But, yeah, so we see this whole thing, and they're offering, you know, Senator Austin the ticket if he's willing to support Claire's gun bill.
Like, on public record, go and speak about it, too. Yeah.
And then Claire goes and does a little meeting with Kate, but really that meeting is just pretense. what did you guys think of that whole setup? Was that brilliant?
It was perfect. Yeah. He's just another pawn. He's just being used again. And he's got, and they're picking a guy, too, who's had years and years of NRA support. And now he's going to go against that. I mean, it's a huge play for him. And to do that, he's risking a lot. So, you know, again, these guys just don't care about who they leave in the dust.
And they got exactly, I mean, it was a complete double play, and they got exactly what they wanted out of it, too. Yeah, they got Austin's support for the bill, and they got the fact that he's not actually in the White House.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect double.
Yeah, they get Julia to drop the hammer. And not only do they get Julia to drop the hammer, Claire promises to make sure it does not pass the Senate. What do you guys think about that promise?
It's ambitious. It's, you know, you never know how House votes are really going to go. And you see, as we get into the next episode with wrangling votes, it's always tough, especially when you're going against what the masses actually want to vote for.
But do you think Claire will be able to stop it from passing the Senate?
Who knows? I mean, does she have that kind of clout? I don't know. It's a lot more difficult because we see a lot more wrangling going on in the House, and that's where Frank was. Yeah. He wasn't a senator. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it plays out. But I doubt that's even really a big factor. I don't know if the bill's really on their priority list.
I would not anymore, I wouldn't say.
Well, I mean, it passed the House, so I'm wondering, you know, if there's a little double cross in store and, you know, what Julia would have to say about that, head of the NRA.
I want to know if Austin, and they didn't really mention this, and I don't know if they will. Obviously, he gave the speech, and then they had him back out. But he was, you know, kind of forced out by the NRA. Is he still labeled as a supporter of the bill, or would he ever have come out and said that he was against it? They didn't show that, but I'm wondering. Because, I mean, it was still a little early that he really put his full support behind it, thinking that he would get something on the back end.
Yeah.
Not getting that. So would he come out against it? And what effect would that have? And I don't think they're going to go into that, but that was a thought that I had.
I would think that might actually play in some future episodes, because I think it's still an open question as to what's happening with Julia and the NRA and whether or not this bill will go through the Senate. So I think, depending on the progression of that bill, we're going to see some blowback here. So.
It's quite possible, especially when you get to the general election cycle. Yeah. It might become a big, big point.
Because it certainly didn't feel resolved.
No, not at all. Definitely left it open.
And so what does Frank do? He says, you know what? Let the Democrats pick. You know, Conway's, we know that Conway has Brockhart, you know, Brockhart eventually resigns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's running
big
with Conway.
Development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge. And what did you guys think about that? Because we thought Brockhart was back in the pocket. They got him back in, and now he's out.
Yeah. He's been playing both sides, but, I mean, he is a guy, I think, who is pretty set in his ways. He's developed a career of discipline, and I don't think he views or respects Frank in any way, especially when he goes against his own military beliefs. I think he just doesn't have any respect for him.
I think as a VP candidate, I think he's good. I don't know where he's from. Which is a huge play, and if he's a good, you know, vice presidential candidate. And you're looking at, and I compared it when I was thinking of Bush 41, because it seems that foreign policy is certainly the big, you know, deal in this election. So you want someone who has good foreign policy experience, good military experience. So as an addition to the ticket, I think he's really good. And that is, you know, going back to what I said with Bush 41, that's what won Bush 41, the 1988 election. Is that it was all about foreign policy.
Yeah.
And so we had that. He stressed that. What lost him for it in 92 is that the foreign policy ended and he didn't have domestic policy.
Yeah, well, that's taxes. Yeah. But, so we Frank now suggests that the Democrats pick his VP running mate.
Mm-hmm. Pick.
Yeah.
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 Strategically.
So do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea? Is this, in terms of, you know, what the public would see, the media, would this be a great idea to kind of take away support from Conway or at least grab the headlines?
I think it's a decent idea. I mean, it's risky, yeah, but I think it's just their play. They have it planned out. They're going to get Claire on in there in the best or easiest way possible without it looking like the Underwoods had manipulated it. Yeah. And I think that that's really what they had determined as the most calculated decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're trying to support, you know, Catherine Durant, support Catherine Durant. Yeah.
I look at all of this and everything that went on there, and I think, man, that's a lot of circus for people to... I wonder what regular people are looking at this and saying. Like, is this... Man, this party's a circus. Like, they got to get their act together. What are they doing? Are they not united? But, you know, being that it's just the convention and there's still several months before the primary, I think they would forget. But at the moment, I would be looking at if I was a member of the party and being like, is this... It's almost a circus.
Well, in reality, we're about to have a circus exactly. with the Republican convention, and I will be watching it closely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will take. I won't be thinking about Clinton or Sanders. I'll be watching that convention. Yeah. So maybe it is a good play.
They have to do something to energize the voting base because they've got an older presidential candidate who's been in office, who doesn't have the same vibe that this young, hip family man Conway has. Mm-hmm. So they've got to do something to liven it up. And this is a great, great way to do it. It's the vice presidency. So it's not viewed as contentious as the presidency. So it's just for some added flavor, I guess.
It matters, but it's not like life or death.
No.
Yeah. And it was great because I kept wondering, how are they going to get Claire on this ticket? Mm-hmm. How? And I was like, brilliant. And just when I thought, wow, the Underwoods have this figured out, how can there be any more chapters? We have Hammerschmidt, and he's a dog with a bone. He's not letting go.
He's back on the trail now.
And so what did you guys think about it? Like, now we can see that he's getting somewhere. What do you guys think about that?
I like it. The call with the dad, I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. And it didn't go where I was thinking it would go more.
At all.
And
it was
nothing.
Nothing.
I think it could maybe... I don't think they would bring someone in like that without planning that maybe he would come back.
Yeah.
The Possibly. Dad. Because otherwise I think it would be, you know, always digging, but I think they were really asking questions. And even him, you know, the drunk driving part and him wanting to pull over, and I thought that was really going in. So I maybe see a little more of him in the future. But certainly with him going to the pizza place and then the talk with the psychotic woman on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
This is the police. Like, wait, what happening?
I loved how he improv that because I think that's what I would have done. Okay, she's crazy. Let me pretend to be this person. Yeah. I loved that. That was a great scene.
But then obviously now to know that Meacham was there and getting to the very end where it's...
Because I at this point was like, dude, it's over. Stop digging. Yeah. Like, well, what are you possibly going to find? You know, I'm thinking the writers will make something happen where it comes to him. But yeah, he gets a little nugget from the pizza guy.
No leads. And I mean, it's significant in that he's just getting coffee at a pizza place. Yeah. I mean, what kind of person just goes on in there, a Secret Service agent, bodyguard at that point in time for Capitol Hill. But he's just kind of, you know, he knows that he has to stay up at late hours. I mean, he's clearly there for other reasons.
You're talking about Meacham.
Yeah. Right?
Meacham. I was making sure,
So Frank was careful, but it looks like Meacham wasn't as careful.
Yeah.
So we go into chapter 48, and we have the contested convention. Everyone's publicly talking about Durant. You know, Kathy will make a wonderful vice president. What did you make of that play that Claire made with Texas?
It was all very, again, very ambitious on their part.
And I think Celia
it was
great. Doris,
I thought it was great going back to Celia and Doris. A little bit of a redemption there. And she, I mean, right after Claire had lost the potential to actually run for that House seat, you know, when she was on the plane with Leanne, she was thinking bigger right away. And I mean, it just kind of goes back to that moment where, you know, hey, I gave up something for you two to move ahead. Well, now you guys owe me something.
Mm-hmm. And it shows just as much as they want to play it as, oh, people are really making these decisions. We're going to have, you know, the people decide this VP spot. The people are not in control. And you makes you question, you know, politics now, how much is backdoor and everything is controlled.
Yeah. And we have this moment where Frank decides he'll bring in Catherine Durant and maybe prepare her, which I thought was odd. Did you guys think that was a little bit odd?
I thought it was a little staged and just it didn't seem like it flowed well.
Yeah, because it's an awkward conversation.
Yes, and I had a lot of respect for Catherine Durant going in and that she was able to see things. And I had a feeling that she would be able to see the play here, especially...
Well, she figures it out.
So do you think she saw it during that meeting?
In the meeting when they're sitting down for dinner. She or lunch or whatever. Yes, yeah, she knew.
Because she was too happy about Claire, right?
Yeah. Well, it was the fact that she was fishing for more information, and she finally, you know, she coyly brought up the fact that, oh, just like the Zoe Barnes story that you planted to get me in office. Mm-hmm. She knows what Frank and Claire are capable of. She knows that this is a possibility that they are manipulating this situation. She's clever. I mean, Frank would never have brought her on as one of his, like, initial pawns in order to oust President
Walker.
Thank you. Yes. And, Gareth. Yeah, there was no way that he was going to trust anybody else to help, like, unseat a president via impeachment. Like, he needed a very dependable lieutenant, and she was that person. So I don't think she's too naive. She knows that stuff is going on.
Yeah, she was too supportive. Oh, if Claire wins, you know, it's wonderful. And yeah, she was very, I felt like she had some things at play.
Yeah, it was a little disingenuous, you could tell.
And we see what happens later, where she
does.
So what do we make of Louisiana trying to vote her in as president?
I mentioned this before we started, we were just kind of discussing. I don't know the legality of that because, and we said that, you know, every state has an election. Every state has the time where the voters, you know, vote, and then there's so many delegates that are automatically decided. Granted, each state on the Democratic side has super delegates so that they can, you know, vote wherever they want. But the other ones are automatically assigned to the candidate.
Yeah,
so they
once
can't just say,
reach that magical number, and we're assuming Frank must have met that magical number.
Yes. And so you can't say, oh, we'll take our 61 and we're going to, you know, give them all to this person. Because they're assigned. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think most people probably would have caught out of that, so I think they could do that and make that show.
I think though it's assigned, I don't think it's in stone. And so, because I know they have one ballot and they have a second or third ballot potentially, so I don't know how it's going to play out. But do you think there will be any further blowback on that? Do you think they will try to
Well, I want to go back to a little bit more at the beginning of the episode where we had the editor-in-chief of Politico come on up to Catherine. Yes. It was such a great scene because you could tell that, I mean, we had Blythe beforehand who had talked to the editor-in-chief who just kind of brought up the fact that, oh, yeah, Claire was actually the one who negotiated the deal in Brandenburg.
Do you think he just brought that up, or did Claire talk to him? Because I thought it was such an odd thing to say at that time.
And
right?
I, you know, Blythe, he's one of those people who I can't quite tell if he's doing it on purpose or if he's just that casual and that relaxed of a guy who is on his way out.
Yeah.
And so, sure, let things.
I think they're doing. Slip. I think they're giving him like a little Biden quality, where he just kind of talks off the cuff. Maybe.
I actually don't think that it was planned by the Underwoods, especially with later on. I think that they had planned to leak the story, but they didn't want it happening that early because they didn't want Catherine Durant to find out that early that there was a play on their part, and they didn't want a situation like what happens towards the end of the episode to occur.
Yeah,
It's just it was not something in their playbook.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. The whole way Blythe just kind of drops that out there. Oh yeah. By the way, she really did the whole negotiation.
It's a big deal.
It shows you though just how fast things can spread of even off the record information. Where it's like, I'll tell you this off the record, and then he was just brought that straight, and he's like, so I heard.
In Atlanta, the next day.
I mean, I don't think I would personally ever talk to a reporter and say off the record and assume you're not going to use that information. I just, I don't know if I have that trust with the media.
Unless you're Tom Hammerschmidt, who actually, he put down the pen after Zoe's father had said, this is off the record. You can tell this is a respectful man.
Boom, we're good.
Yeah, right? So some journalists have some kind of morality.
And so so Conway gets a little upset. So Conway goes, okay, they're making all the news and then the headlines. So we got to make some headlines too. He goes down there to confront the president about Ico, and Frank has a great response. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of that whole exchange?
Brilliant. I mean, Conway, very manipulative. I mean, just like going back to the past episode, as we saw with the Conways, they're people who are in the business of show business politics. They're on Vanity Fair covers. Yeah. They're utilizing these resources to kind of make themselves larger than life and not just a political level with power, but more like a showbiz level with fame.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Oh, God, of course. Yeah. And so, like, they're just, like, manipulating every bit possible in their playbook just to kind of set themselves ahead of the Underwoods in ways that the Underwoods can't, because they can't do a spread into Vanity Fair and make it look sexy. But, you know, you got Will Conway and his, you know, oh, God, that line that he had where he, where one of the editors was going through the pictures with him, and she says, "Yo, you look good." He's like, "I know." It's just, yeah. Like, man, this guy, he's got a head on his shoulders. It's something else.
Yeah, and it gets, I mean, goes back to where you said about 9/11. And he has play, I mean, he knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
That he does.
And that's very important. Obviously, you don't get to that level without knowing how to play the game.
Yeah. But what you do see is, you know, they, you know, Frank and Claire say they're willing to go further than anybody else. And what you do see is a huge turnaround. Frank didn't want to use the NSA. Frank thought that was a little too far. And all of a sudden, he wants to isolate this call, the guys in the bathroom. And now he wants the information right now, which I didn't even know. Can it be that quick? You know?
I'm sure. I mean, like, I'm sure you can. Just like, quick wire.
It is the president, right?
Yeah, you would hope people answer the phone.
And so now, so what do you guys think about that battle of egos, that battle of, like, gamesmanship they had in that private meeting?
I was surprised, and I think this gets back to what you had mentioned about just a different Frank, because Frank, you know, several episodes ago, even last season, I don't think would have done that. No. Where here, he was convinced, and he listened to Claire again, which shows the strengthening of their relationship, and says, you know what, I'll be compassionate, and I'll do that. Whereas before, I think his ego would have gotten the best of him, and he would have tried something else. And it gets back, once again, it's making us like Frank.
I think that there's also a mutual respect to some degree between Frank and Conway, in that Frank sees the potential in Conway. He sees him as a threat, but he also knows that this is a man whom he can actually have a legitimate chess match with, and that there are two different games being played, and two different types of games that are and strategies that are being brought to the table. And he views that as a challenge, and he likes it. It's refreshing because he can feel comfortable talking with this guy coyly, just because he knows that even though that this guy is his adversary, they're both playing the same game.
I think he takes some pride in knowing that Conway is a little bit of Frank, and is kind of almost using the using Frank's tools and has kind of learned from him a little bit and seeing his rise to power. And I think that gives Frank, he feels good about that.
Yeah, you know, it's motivation.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like, this guy, he knows what I've done, and he's kind of following it a little bit and kind of, you know, playing me the way I would have played other people. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost reminds me a little bit of kind of Gore and Bush.
A little bit.
Yeah, because Gore was sort of the politician, the statesman. He looked very presidential. Bush didn't, but he was very relatable, and people liked him. So I and Bush eventually won. So I wonder if, you know, will we see the Underwoods in the White House? I don't know.
That's a big prediction. I don't really.
Are you willing to go on the record for this?
Not quite, but the fact that they let Frank get shot made me go, well, you know, everything's
possible.
All, you know.
Everything is possible. But I like the humor almost in their little meeting. Oh, all right, we're going to go in here, we're going to talk. And they literally kick the shoes off, make a sandwich. Not a single bit about it was discussed.
Yeah. It was almost like when they came to talk about the vice presidential nominee. And they said, you know what, just pretend we're having this meeting for an hour or so.
Yeah.
So what we also saw in 48, which was curious, was Doug Stamper. He decides that maybe he's feeling guilty, Doug. What do you guys make of that?
Him donating.
I think that it might be just a choice by the writers in that they want us to like Doug a little bit more. Maybe they felt for whatever reason that he would go down a trajectory where we did not view him as a likable character anymore. And, I mean, he's one of my favorite characters. And he's committed murder. But there's still an element where you see somebody, you know, kill an innocent person. And you feel a little bit of resentment towards that person. Yeah. So I think that might just be a tool to kind of
make him. In this episode, the writers really are showing him cracking almost. Under the pressure.
That's true.
Where he's never really done that, but he's always been that solid guy who knows exactly what he wants, and he's going to go do it. And here, with what you see with him going to that website and kind of looking there, he's kind of thinking about his past decisions. And even later with really, obviously we've seen what he's done with Seth, but now even challenging Leanne and really challenging people, things that really I feel will lead to a big butting of heads.
Yeah.
And so I see him almost cracking a little bit now. And I'm interested to see where they will take that in the next couple episodes, if there will be a falling out or if he'll go too far. because it's just getting to him almost.
See, when I was watching this, I was just like, bullshit. This guy would not be this emotional. I mean, in terms of the character of Doug is not that guy.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so why would now this begin to affect him? So I am wondering how they're going to, where it's going, because it doesn't really seem to be part of his character.
No.
And unless, so it needs to make sense to me later on.
Unless he goes to hit on the widow. That's a very Doug Stamper move. I mean, the way that he's looking at it, I'm like, this I can see happening.
Keeps her close.
So I was very confused about that sort of crisis of conscience he's having now.
But then, I mean, you bring up a good point where there is a possibility where we see a clashing of heads between Leanne and Doug. And you see Seth, who is now trying to fish for a little bit of information just to get by, because he knows Seth, that Stamper's...
It seems like he doesn't know what to do.
He doesn't.
Where he's like, I don't know what you want.
It's like he's like in a dark room. He doesn't know his way out.
Yeah.
To the point where he now is told Leanne, hey, look, you know, cards on the table. I need something.
Give me something.
Yeah, that cannot help Seth. I mean, that's got to come back to bite him, right?
And this is, I'm making an early prediction here in that I see Seth and Leanne leaving, had there being a falling out, them leaving and hurting the Underwoods. Because neither of them has a major tie with the Underwoods. They weren't there from the beginning.
I would say Leanne seems awfully committed to Claire, though, doesn't she?
I think so, too. I think that it's actually the opposite. I think that Seth and Leanne, and I don't want this to happen because I love Doug, but I think that they are...
It's your favorite character.
I know. I think that those two have a little bit... They're more capable of shooing Doug out at the moment than the opposite.
And that makes sense, because that little break of that conscience, that might make him vulnerable.
I don't see Claire and Frank allowing Doug to leave, though. Even when they're in that doorway discussing and they're talking about Doug's thoughts and fears about Leanne. And that they're believing him, and they have a lot of stock and faith in Doug.
But he is the chief of staff of the United States. I mean, there are certain things that could cause him to have to resign.
And do they really need Doug when they have Yates? Because Yates is almost becoming their emotional,
Not the bad boy. Yates is not the bad boy, and can't do some of the things that Doug does.
That's true.
They need Doug for that, because... That's his role. I mean, Seth won't do that.
But anyone,
Leanne
Seth
won't
feels
do
like
that.
He can do that.
Anyone can be the bad guy.
Yeah. Seth feels like he is capable of doing Doug's job.
Yeah.
And doing it at the same level as Doug. But Doug really can only take it that step further that the Underwoods want.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, like...
I don't see Seth killing anyone.
No. Well, he's not going to.
Hey, who knows?
One bit, but... Yeah, I'm hoping that I'm not right, but I feel like that's what's most likely at this point.
Turning on your beloved Doug.
I don't know. Well, it hurts me. It hurts my heart.
It's all right, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Do we see with Yates? Do we see him and Claire getting close? Well, we already saw he's got to write Claire the speech of a lifetime, and now they're getting closer in terms of that. What's that relationship? Does that relationship look like it's going to be? Get deeper?
I mean, deeper to what degree?
I don't see a
relationship. That's a question.
I don't see like a...
A Meacham type relationship now.
No. No, I don't see that. I see... And a good and bad thing about someone like Yates is that he tells you not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
He tells you what you need to hear.
Yeah.
And so that is good and bad. And I think he'll say something and kind of make them think.
Yeah. I'm not going to discount the possibility of a Meacham-type relationship. I think it's totally possible.
They both do seem to love him independently, which was very... Because with the whole Meacham thing, I was wondering with that couple, jealousy and... You know, but it was never there. It was almost a mutual love and respect for this guy who they were also... I see it developing with Yates.
I think that this sexual incident that happened between Frank, Claire, and Meacham was early on in their relationship. I felt like at that point in time, the trust really wasn't quite there. I thought that it was
with
a
Meacham
little unfounded. With Meacham. At that point in time in the series.
It was almost a test?
Yeah. In many respects, I felt like it was a test. Now, I think that they're a little further along the way. They know how much they trusted Meacham. And I think now, Tom, they can trust. So I think that they would be comfortable with going that route. Whether or not they will, I don't know, because we've seen it, we've done it. I don't know if they'd do it again just for the you know, for the writers to go about doing it.
I don't see any incentive. They have been talking a little bit about the whole sexual thing, you know, in the series. So
they have. Maybe, they're due.
Yeah. So maybe
we still haven't seen Frank and Claire get together. And every time when I see them together, her in the bathtub, and I'm like,
that was big.
Could something happen? Yeah. Could something happen? No.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But maybe they need the grease of a Yates.
The trust is building between Claire and Frank at the very least. The bathroom scene was big for their relationship.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Frank, he's this. The southern respectable gentleman.
He looks away.
Yeah, he looks away. Even when he hands the towel, he looks away.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mind goes right to Meacham after that, which was interesting. Pointing that out.
So we'll see what happens. Well, I guess let's just go into our predictions.
Yeah, why not?
Prediction time. Yeah, there's the music.
And now,
we can go.
You're After Buzz TV.
Go wild with these predictions.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, on that note, why don't you start?
my biggest takeaway from this episode is that I feel as if Claire and Frank are going to win over the Conways simply because of the unity of Claire and Frank. I just don't... I feel like Conway wants to go the extra mile. He wants to be Frank Underwood in that he'll do anything for power. But I also feel that his own wife is going to hold him back to some degree. Whether it be a moral issue, I just don't think... She is not Claire Underwood. And I think that that's what this whole season, what this whole series has been about, is their unity as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Doing anything possible to attain their goals. And I don't see his wife being able to make that same sacrifice.
Speaking of her, she's got the accent. Will Americans go for that? No, I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute.
I was analyzing her throughout, and there were various points. Obviously, she is the one who convinces them to go to Atlanta.
She does.
Which is positive. Although, when Frank called the bluff, and they had that moment between the Conways, she almost seemed a little lost. And like, oh, what to do? And he was like, well, what can I do? Yeah. And she didn't have like a great option. She was just kind of like dejected almost with her head down. And
so Claire would have a solution.
Claire would definitely have had a solution and would have been different.
Yep. I would agree.
Do you think we're going to get resolution? That's what I'm nervous about. Are we going to see the winner of this election before this thing ends?
Before the end of the season? No.
I don't know.
When I think about how fast they made Frank president in season 2.
Yeah.
That moved very fast. That was 2 episodes, and suddenly he's president of the United States.
We only have 4 more to go, and we still have to finish the convention.
But then again, we fast forwarded how many months
to
the convention between these 2 episodes that we had right here.
Yeah, I would imagine there will be some fast forwarding because otherwise you're just campaigning, and we already saw that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I have to think that the season ends on some kind of resolution.
So we know who's going to win.
Either they're holding hands in front of the American flag, something of the sort.
I just feel like then there wouldn't be a way to bring like maybe make people excited about 5,
unless they leave a big cliffhanger to some degree,
or maybe he doesn't win, and maybe that's my.
Let's think about the possibility of him not winning.
Is it?
And then we start all over with 4 more seasons where Claire is going to be president.
Fast forward 4 years to the. To the scenario where Claire is running,
or we have the possibility that Durant somehow gets the presidential nomination and Claire is the VP.
I think that,
and now she's got an angle to.
I think the way that we ended the episode with Tom and Claire talking on the plane, there was a sense of uplifting that Claire is going to get this vice presidency, that it's going to be real. And I don't see a world where it's going to be Catherine Durant and Claire Underwood. I just don't see. Or do
we see? Is it possible Claire and Frank get kicked out essentially, and they do a third party run?
Oh, shit.
I don't know if I could stand to see another character introduced this late, as far as another running mate or another president.
I think
if Durant somehow gets the Democratic nomination, Claire pulls out, who would be her vice president? Maybe she gets someone, you know.
Someone, another person we have to learn about. I can't keep dealing with this.
He is a sitting president. It just isn't going to happen this late in the game, where he's been a victim of an assassination attempt.
True.
it just doesn't seem real. I don't think the American people would rally around it.
And speaking of, do we see a Hammer Schmidt coming down?
A Hammer Schmidt.
There's something obviously big going to come out. He's going to find something from the Meacham.
So does he have to die, right? He's either going to live and stuff is going to go wrong, or he's got to die.
I don't see him dying. I don't see him killing it. I think that'd be too cliche for what they've already seen with Zoe and with Lucas.
My prediction is he
I don't think he's that he's die. Going to die.
I don't think
die.
You could have three people die. I feel like that's almost...
I will say what I think is most likely. I think what is most likely to happen is that Frank... This story comes out from Hammerschmidt. Frank is impeached, and Claire becomes president.
That
would be the most likely prediction.
You know what? I'm going to steal your prediction. I love it. That's a good one. That's
actually,
a good
one.
I'm holding I did think about this, so I might hold to that one.
You know what? I like that. I'm going to stick to that prediction. Okay. we're copycatting.
And if not, maybe the writers are listening.
Wouldn't that be a 4 years, though, under Claire, where the entire party sees... Because here's the thing. If they impeach Frank, there is clout over the entire White House and family.
Sure.
Because you know he obviously didn't act alone. You knew she knew about it. So how do you even handle that?
She has to divorce him.
What?
She would have to divorce him.
People would still know that she would be involved. I mean,
would there be a riff to where Claire is sitting in the presidency, Frank is now charged with murder, and she does not pardon him? So there would have to be a rift where she leaves Frank in jail and Claire is sitting in the Oval Office.
That would be interesting.
So that's possible. And at the end of the season, immoral.
And at the end of the season, she just leans back and kicks her feet up and we fade out.
Yeah, honestly, because...
Well, this has been the season of Claire, so this could very well be a possibility.
Because how does Claire pardon her husband for murder?
Yeah. I don't think the public... Yeah.
I don't think that the public would allow it.
Would
so you see Frank in chains for all the actions that he has done, and he got Claire as the winner.
And maybe she just has to wait to pardon him until her, like, towards the end of her 8 years? 4 8 years?
Possible.
Wow. So. Well, those are some bombshell predictions.
We had nobody in our chat room to comment on this. Yeah. But if you are watching and would like to comment, feel free to join us on our YouTube chat link.
Absolutely. Yes. All my predictions really focus around several people who I feel could have information and could leave. You have Kathy Durant. You have Seth. You have Leanne. And I'll go back to what I said. I see Leanne and I see Seth. Seth especially, that has information, and I feel like he will test the waters and leave as he sees a shaky moment. And so, you know, there's not a chief of staff for Conway yet. True. Seth really wants the chief of staff position. I see that he could leave. He has enough information. And I see just that I don't know, I think I'm reading into that relationship and conversation between Seth and Leanne and thinking that there has to be something from there because they left it.
Yeah.
It was a complete drop, which means they're going to pick it back up. And I think Leanne sees a little fight from Doug and will eventually get tired of the fact that the Underwoods are choosing Doug over Leanne.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I see her getting tired of that. So I see Seth and Leanne leaving. I see... Kathy doesn't really have as much inside information. I see she will, you know, try to help the Conways as she already is proven.
Yeah, she's definitely smart.
In order to stay in her Secretary of State role. Yeah. But, you know, she's still a pawn. And
like
Kathy,
too.
She is,
it's,
right?
It's sad to see this downturn in her character because I really do like her.
Yeah.
She's got that, like your first grade teacher type feel.
Yeah.
You know? It's
and,
that warmth.
And I loved how she had mentioned a couple episodes ago, oh, that time you let me beat you at, what is it, Barrett?
Beer pong.
It was like she knows. She's savvy. She knows what's going on.
She's likable.
So, yeah, very likable.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right, what do you have?
Original predictions? Tough. I definitely see something with Remy and Jackie. There's no way
they've been on the sidelines.
Yeah, and they have just been like I said, they've been crapped on. You know, they really have. And so I don't see them not fighting back.
All these loose ends.
Yeah.
There's so many.
They've really pissed off a lot of people in Washington and people that have power and people that know just enough to kind of bring them down if they could all put it together. And so I think they're going to have some trouble. It's called House of Cards for a reason. So I think they're going to have a lot of trouble with Remy and Jackie.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And it's got to come soon because, you know, the season's
I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
House of Cards because it's so unstable, but it's just being built up.
Yeah. And so you know there's got to be something to really... So that's why he may not win the presidency. So we'll see.
But, I still feel like they're going to win the presidency, but I feel like there are...
Because
like
you want it to happen?
Of course I want it to happen.
Yeah, but I feel like you couldn't have a season five unless they're in office. But, oh my goodness, that impeachment and Claire takes over, and obviously that, you know, it's really is setting up. Now you look at that, it's amazing how you can say something like that.
Yeah, and then you start to really creep into your mind.
Oh man, it really, all the dots are just connecting.
Could very well be.
Yeah. And an interesting thing real quick, I love, too, when Frank and Conway were in the meeting together, and they bring up the comparison between Nixon and Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Where it is, Kennedy is a very likable person, and they say, the only reason that people love Kennedy is because he was shot. And Frank, and there's like, oh, well, Frank was shot. Whereas you look at the spying and all the information is Nixon.
Yeah.
And it, totally different, but they have similarities of each of their things. I love that comparison.
That's a very good
comparison. Yeah, the writers are good. It's pretty good.
They are. Yeah, they bring in these historical moments, and they actually make it contemporary.
Yeah, and they're good about somehow predicting the future, too. So yeah.
This has been a crazy season of House of Cards in that it was filmed almost a year ago. Yeah. And so for all of this to transpire in our current political landscape.
Exactly.
Even incredible. What we were talking about, the convention.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy thing.
Some stuff that would have seemed wild is just like, okay, I guess this could happen, right?
Yeah. I imagine they're just sitting at home right now thinking, wow. Did we just get really lucky?
They're patting themselves on the back. We're good. We are good. So, well, that is it for our bombshell predictions. We're glad you guys were able to join us. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
Michael Klaus, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV.
And I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me at TheKevinEllis on Twitter or on KevinEllis25 on Instagram. Shout out to Ibrahim for joining us in the chat room.
We miss Maria Cavasudo tonight.
We did.
Yes, she
we
did. Is at a... Yes, and so
good for her.
She will be back next week, we believe. Sorry you had to deal with all of our faces and not a pretty woman.
So yeah, join us next week, Wednesday, 8 p.m.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.